Hello, Dr. Shaw here, and welcome to my 10th podcast of Teaching Humanity Remotely. Today, I'm going to be discussing good sportsmanship. As I've said over and over again, children learn what we teach them. So it's critical that we're mindful when we are teaching them, that we want them to learn what we're teaching them, and we are socializing their attention to what we value. I feel like good sportsmanship is an interesting illustration in action about character building. There's been some questions about how do we build good character, and I actually am going to be discussing that next time, but for now I wanted to speak of good sportsmanship first. So I have a very close friend, and she has three fantastic children, grown children, and the whole family were really into sports. And they worked really hard bringing their children from place to place to ensure that they would get the opportunity to play sports. And what I really admired about this family is that although they were competitive, they wanted their children to do well and play hard, what was more important was being part of a team. And I learned so much in just observing their value system as a family. Yes, they wanted like each of their children to make sure that when they were playing, they were doing their best, but it wasn't about being upset if somebody else on the team didn't do as well as they could have. It was about always championing each person. So eventually, you know, the sum would be greater than its parts. And I learned a lot about competition versus cooperation. And I feel, in a way, the healthiest competition is the competition that you have with yourself. I want to be my best self. In doing that, it is not my intention to outshine someone else. It's not about somebody else. I'm not competing against someone else. I'm competing against myself to be my best self. And part of being my best self is to know when to step aside and give somebody else the limelight. Part of being my best self is to have a good attitude if my coach says you're going to play in this position instead of, let's say, a star position. And knowing that in that kind of playing, in that kind of sport, in that kind of team sport, that there's trust and there is cooperation, and that if a coach says I should be in a certain position, even if I want to be in another position, my responsibility to myself and to my team is to always be my best self. You know, I think that's just a really important quality. And her family, my friend, and you know who you are, my friend, from, you know, her children being very young, they played sports, and now they have received, they're in college, one actually graduated from college and is a teacher, and they all received scholarships for their athleticism. And they're still being their best selves, learning how to be part of a team and the value system. And it builds character, because instead of always having to be the only one that's seen on the team, learning how to be a good sport kind of teaches you and gives you the opportunity of knowing how to be a team player. And it's nice when it's not all on you and you can learn the gifts of being part of a team. So I want to tell you a story. And I think this is really an important story about parenting and about children. So in one of my last years of teaching, I had a pretty outstanding student, very skilled academically, very, very intelligent, advanced in his ability to learn information, fabulous reader, very good in arithmetic. Along with those gifts, there was a struggle that his reading was better than his writing, and it was very difficult for him to make a mistake. And one thing I noticed is that when someone at a young age is so skilled in one area, and so much of that skill comes easily and naturally, it can be really difficult when another area could just be normally challenging, but for that person, their interpretation is that it's so overwhelmingly hard because the other area is so easy. That's a whole nother topic to discuss, how to teach children that work is really good and building stamina in areas that you have to work hard in is a very fabulous skill. And just because something is harder than something else doesn't mean that it's not attainable and that we shouldn't be making efforts towards it. But that's another subject. So this child, although this child had some very stunning gifts, this child, like all people, because balance is in everything, this child also had some struggles. And in the area of social, emotional areas, there was some struggle in his lack of maturity. So, and he was also the only child. So he wasn't, let's say, in, I think it's fine to be an only child. So this is not a prejudice in any way. This is just, in this case, I'm just saying that he didn't have a lot of opportunity to play with other children outside of school. I mean, he had a certain amount of play dates, of course, and they were very good for him. But he also was with adults a lot. That's some information, no judgment, just information to be mindful as parents, because there are a lot of people who only have one child, and I think that's absolutely fantastic, and there's no problem with that. But it's important to be mindful of, if that's the case, how, in certain ways, your child gets to be more mature because they're always being exposed to adults. But when it comes to their social interactions with children, they could actually be less mature because they're having less opportunity. Because again, practice is the best teacher, so having the opportunity. And I'm sure that parents are mindful of that as well. So this child was very bright and really wanted to please and had a very sweet heart. Really, all in all, a really nice boy. But when it came to playing games, this is what would happen. He'd want to play, and every time he was starting to lose, now let's say the game was like a card game, and every time he was starting to lose, he would be out. And it really wouldn't be fair to the other children who were playing. And in this little group that we would, because every day we had indoor recess, you know, we would play a few minutes and we would play a game. And there was a boy in the group that he just loved playing. It didn't matter to him if he had all the cards, which was an indication that, you know, he probably wasn't going to win, or if he was getting rid of all his cards. He was just happy playing. And it was so great to see that kind of sportsmanship. He just loved the game. He didn't have to be the best. It didn't matter if he was winning the game. The winning for him was playing with his friends. So it was really nice to see. And he had really good sportsmanship. So when the boy who was losing, going to lose, he wasn't going to get his cards out first. Every single time he got like a big wad of cards in his hand, he wanted to stop playing. And so that became a conversation that we would have at a different time in the class. And after letting him like stop playing, like maybe three times this happened, or maybe even more, and maybe it even happened in different situations, but this is a very good illustration of this particular card game, we started having classroom meetings about it. And again, in my classroom, there was no shame, just learning lessons and responsibility. And this is where I think character is built, and I will be explaining that shortly. So we decided as a whole class, including this boy who would always want to quit when he wasn't going to win, we decided as a whole class, after lots of warnings and lots of discussions about it, that if this were to ever happen again, if he were playing and he knew that he wasn't going to win and he wanted to quit, then we wouldn't have him play this game again, ever in the class, ever. Because we just felt like he was leaving the game too many times. And it was something that we discussed at different times throughout the year that, you know, it's not being a good sport to like leave in the middle of the game, because then what do we do with those cards that were in your hand and so on and so forth. And he totally understood and he totally agreed. The whole class agreed, because I knew that it would happen again and it seemed like it could be a very harsh consequence. But this was after we discussed it so many times, and I made my commitment that if we agreed to not let him play for the remainder of the year, I think this was like in April, if we made that agreement, that's really unlike me, because it's like not giving him the opportunity to make something right. So I didn't want to make the punishment too harsh, but it was just this one game. He could play other things. It was just in this game, because it was really not fair, especially to that boy who was always so good about having all those cards at the end of the game and losing, and it never bothered him. And I gave a lot of attention to that, what a good sport it was, what a pleasure it was to play with him, versus it's not a pleasure to play with someone who is just leaving the game when it gets hard for them or they know they're not going to win. So lo and behold, within the few days after we made a commitment as a whole group and he agreed to that commitment, he started to play the game. And he wound up knowing that he wasn't going to win the game. And he said, I want to quit. And we said, are you sure you want to quit? Because if you quit this time, we're not going to have you come back in. We agree with it. So on and so forth. He did quit. And the next day he wanted to get back in the game. And we said, no. And then I received a letter from his parents saying, you know, he wants to get back in the game. Why aren't you letting him get back in the game? And this was also on a heels where he was invited, because he was bright, he was invited to be able to participate in a special little program once a week for a few kids on the grade level to get a little extra experience with another teacher, you know, just to get a little extra time. It was a gift to be invited to that program, and he certainly wanted it, and his parents wanted it. And 1 week he gets picked up to go to that program for 40 minutes and he didn't want to go. And then another week he didn't want to go. And then the third week, you know, and then the teacher said, someone else could be in your slot if you don't want to go. If you decide to quit, we're not going to have you be able to get back in. And he said, no problem. And the parents wrote to that person as well, that teacher as well. And I was thinking about this, and I already wrote to the parents saying, this is what's happening. And we're moving in the direction that if he continues to quit every time he wants to play, if he continues to quit when he's losing, I already wrote to the parents and said, you know, this is where it's going to go. So they were okay with that. Then when it actually happened, they wrote a letter saying, you know, we should give him another chance. And they also wrote a letter to the other teacher after he decided that he wants to quit, and they were, you know, that he wanted to go back. And so I sat down and I wrote a really long letter to the parents. And I said, listen, I cannot let him come back to the game because we all made a commitment and he was part of that commitment. And I can only be as good as my word. And I have to show the children that our words matter. And that when we make a commitment, we honor that commitment. Because what he was doing when he was quitting both the special program and the playing of the game when he was losing is he wasn't fulfilling his own commitment. When the parents asked us to give him another chance, what would it be teaching him? From my perspective, it would have been teaching him that he could say he's going to do something, then run to his parents, maybe cry, maybe be upset, and then his parents are going to save him by telling his teachers to give in to him. And then what would that teach the boy? Would that be building good sportsmanship? Absolutely not. And along with that lack of good sportsmanship, it would not be building good character. So I somehow see good sportsmanship, the ability to be part of a team, the ability to cooperate, the ability to keep your word, to do your best. There's so many nice qualities that are built into good sportsmanship. It also really allows you to enjoy the game as well as the outcome. And that's also a whole nother fantastic lesson. But, you know, I think when parents see, and teachers see, that children are suffering or they're not feeling good about a decision that they made, and since everything's a learning lesson, why not give them one more chance? And I have to say that before he was taken out of the game for good in the class, he did have a lot of chances. So I may not be telling the story as accurately as the events that really occurred. And before he made the decision to not be part of that special little program, he did get to have chances to not go. But eventually he was really taking up a spot that somebody else who wanted to go could have been part of. So at a certain point, when through discussions, when the adult is working with the child and the child is not keeping his or her commitment, let's say to seeing the game through or being part of a special program, which is really an invitation only nice gift to have, at a certain point when through conversations the child still doesn't want to do it, if the parent or teacher agrees with that decision, says it's okay, then you really have to stay strong and not give in, because what that teaches is that inconsistency. Again, it's one of my first podcasts that we talked about was like follow through and consistency. By changing your mind in midstream, that is not a great learning lesson to have, and it will have a rippling effect of possible negative consequence, not only in that moment, but really what that's saying is that I'm going to make an agreement, then I'm going to not fulfill that agreement, right? I'm going to say that I could play the game through whether I win or lose. That was his agreement. Then he's not going to fulfill that agreement. Then we're going to say, okay, eventually after we see so many times that you're not fulfilling your agreement, you're not going to play the game. And then you agree to that. And then he goes home crying. And then the parent says, well, can you let him back in the game? He had his learning lesson. It's like the boy who cried wolf. It's like, how can you ever trust him again? And if the consequence isn't kind of felt, if he thinks that he can just go home and his parents are going to get him out of the consequence, then what he's learning is that when he misbehaves, he's going to be saved instead of him learning how to save himself by either not misbehaving or by learning that if you make a commitment, you really see it through. So it wasn't like he wasn't allowed to play any other game in the classroom, or he wasn't allowed to play with his friends in another way. We were strict with this particular game and consequence because time in and time out, he was not honoring his commitment. And once I said the rest of the year, because I knew that he would go home and I knew that they would want to change that. So I just think as parents, we have to be really careful when we think we're doing the right thing for our children or child, you know, because they changed their mind, they had their learning lesson. If it's true that he really had his learning lesson, then we would see that in other ways. We would see that in the other games that he played in the classroom. We would see that in he would either learn that he's not going to agree to participate in these different activities that he could see that he's not really interested in after one or two times, or he would learn that he actually is interested in them and he will see them through. And it's really interesting because the other teacher who had the special program, she completely agreed as well. So it's very important, and sometimes it's hard. It's hard when you're parents and there's a lot of pressure on you and you know, you feel like your child had a learning lesson. I mean, you don't want consequences to last forever. You know, the punishment in quotation marks should fit the crime in quotation marks. And it's really, I don't want it to even be seen as a punishment or a consequence. I really want it to be seen as a learning lesson. Everything is a learning lesson if in fact we're learning from our actions. If we're learning, then it's all good. And in this particular case, it felt like it needed to be throughout the year, but it was late in the year. I wouldn't normally do that. I wouldn't normally have such a long consequence, but it just felt like he would just stop playing time in and time out. And it really wasn't fair to the other children. And we agreed, and he honored that agreement. So when his parents wrote the letter to both myself as the teacher and to the other teacher, we didn't even talk about it. We both wrote back to the parents, not knowing until maybe weeks later, we happened to meet each other in the hall or something, and we spoke about that boy. And, you know, I said, I got this. And she said, oh, I got that, you know, from the parents. But what was very interesting is when the child wanted to go back and play the game, and when the child wanted to go back into the special little program, when we talked about it as a class, see, what we did as a class, which was great, is that we had a commitment that when there was a learning lesson for one, there'd be a learning lesson for all. If it was like important, like character building like this, and that it was discussed not to embarrass or shame the child, because we were not about embarrassment and shame. We were about like, look, it's really hard to keep a commitment. And this is what happens. Eventually, this is what happens if your actions don't match your words. So I think what's important is we need to be very mindful and say, in this episode of this learning lesson, what's most important? Is it most important in the moment to just have the child not be upset and let him go in the game? Is that what's most important? Let's say if you're a little family and you just want to get through dinner and it's like chaotic. Or is there a bigger picture that makes you have to be responsible as the adult and almost be front-loading and say, okay, you know, I'm going to agonize over this particular incident for a little bit longer because what I'll ultimately get is greater than just the momentary gratification of like, oh, okay, now we can have a peaceful dinner. So you have to also see that too. And then once you make your decision, if your decision is, no, I really think that being a good sport's very important. I want my child to learn how to honor their commitments and keep their word. And so I'm willing to see the consequence, the learning lesson, through, then in the long run, I think you're going to do better because you are going to front load that behavior and shape it, and you're going to put time into it in the beginning. So as your child gets older, your child is going to have the experience and the reinforcement of the reward of being a good sport. So that's just my two cents about good sportsmanship. And I definitely feel that it absolutely leads to, it's character building. It's character building. And it really also teaches your child how to play nicely with others. And it makes your child more of a pleasure to be around. It's really nice to be a good sport. It's really nice to have friends that are good sports. There's so much built into that. There's flexibility. There's getting pleasure from someone else's success. There's just so many nice characters, and all of those characters build good sportsmanship and build the kind of characters we want. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and this is just my personal opinion. You know, I used to say to my class, the children in my class and their parents, I used to say, you know, it's very important and wonderful to learn how to read and write and solve problems. It is. It's great. But we also want to make sure that we are learning how to read and write and building character and good citizens so that as we enrich our intellectual ability, we also feel that we have a responsibility in our little community and in the world to be contributing in a positive way. So it's not just a matter of being intellectual and bright and smart. To me, it's about using all of those positive qualities, using all that intelligence for the good of the community, and to understand that I can be of service and I can be helpful and I can use my intelligence to know how to be helpful. I just feel like that's incredibly important, and it's all in wrapped up in good sportsmanship and building character. So I wanted to share that, and I look forward to, as always, I look forward to your feedback. So please continue to email me at learnwithmeremotely.com, and I'll continue to pick subjects the audience seems to be interested in. And I have a new book up at Amazon, and I have it. I wrote it because people asked me for these topics. They're the three F's, I call them: flexibility, friendship, and frustration. A teacher friend of mine asked me to write a book about frustration, and I did. And one parent asked about for me to write a book about friendship, and one parent asked about flexibility. So really, hearing from you is very important, and I want to respond in a way that is helpful, because this is my contribution. This is a way that I get to make sure that my actions match my words of wanting to be of service in my community during a time when we just all need to come together and be of service to each other. We all have different strengths and we have different needs, but what we all need is to come together and support each other during this time of either alienation, isolation, dis-ease because of the disease. We just need to be mindful that we are a community, and our community is our human beingness. Our humanity is our community. So until next time, I hope that you're enjoying these podcasts and the books that you can get at Amazon. But again, just go to my website at www.learnwithmeremotely.com, and all the information's there. Until then, be well. Have a happy, healthy Thanksgiving. And I hope that we all remember that we have so much to be thankful for, and that we live from a place with an attitude of gratitude.
And that concludes this episode of the podcast series Teaching Humanity Remotely with Dr. Mindy Shaw. Thank you for listening. You can follow Dr. Shaw on Facebook. Her page is Learn With Me Remotely. That's on Facebook. That's also her website, learnwithmeremotely.com. Her podcasts and all the books that she's been referring to are on that site for purchase, and samples are there as well. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. Dr. is abbreviated DR, and the 1 is the number 1, Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. And on Instagram at Dr. Mint with a T, Shaw. Thanks again for listening. Watch out for the next podcast in the series. That'll be coming real soon.